Blog Talk Radio.
Take a Run Productions.
Well, this show is brought to you by the Unknown Radio Network, consisting of the very best selection of paranormal internet radio shows anywhere on the web. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Unknown Radio Network.
And welcome to Unknown Radio, Paranormal Radio on the Unknown Radio Network. Right now, I am alone. Can't find Martin. I'm going to try calling again while we're on the air here. So let me see if I can get him on. And we're dialing now.
Martin, can't come to the phone right now. Please leave a message.
Hey, Martin. Martin. Call me back. 323-580-5703. All righty. Well, it looks like I'm flying solo for the time being. And, so I'm here, alone. Oh, man. But, yeah, the week was good. Relaxed all weekend. You know, not too much going on in the news. Pretty much the same old, same old. As far as unknown work, we're going on an investigation next month at a sanatorium in Arkansas, so that should be fun. June, we're trying to book something. I got to go speak at a conference in Shreveport, Louisiana. July, we're going to Hillhouse Manor. So that's pretty much it. So. Yeah, trying to type and run the chat room and, yeah, very interesting. I knew Jeff was going to be here tonight, but I have no clue where Martin is. So, yeah, not what I like to be planned. I don't like to do things on the fly. So, yeah. Hopefully my internet will hold up. It's been doing some crazy stuff tonight. So, and we got somebody online. Let's see. Hello.
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 This is Lee Brown. How are you?
Good.
Yeah,
is that
you? Yeah, it's me. You don't sound right. What's wrong with you?
Oh, man.
There you are. Now there's Kevin. There he is. All right.
Yeah.
Just had to make you laugh, huh?
I'm the only show on my network out of six shows. I'm the only show that has two co-hosts besides myself, and I get stood up more than anybody else on the network.
Oh, baby, you call me anytime. Don't you worry about it. I knew Jeff wasn't going to be on tonight.
Yeah, I knew Jeff wasn't going to be on tonight, but I don't know where Martin is, so I hope he's okay. So, yeah, now I just got to pray that my guest calls in tonight.
Who's our guest?
Our guest is Sarah Harmon.
Okay. Okay, let's see. I'm going to advertise on Facebook that I am with Spirit Casper on his show.
Yeah. Sounds good to me. So, how things been going in your world?
Oh my gosh, so busy. Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, this is Blog Talk Radio in the name of your show.
Unknown Paranormal Radio. The link for it is www.blogtalkradio/unknownpg.
Listen, I want to tell you about the last investigation that I did. It was absolutely insane. I was on CC the Huntress. I was part of her entourage that performed and did entertainment, and basically gave out awards for her paranormal awards. I was up for two, so I was quite honored to even be there, and I represented Honeyman. So I mean, I had a wonderful, wonderful time. And but anyway, I was staying at the well-known Black Swan Inn. This is in New Hampshire. Well, after we finished our program, I was so tired because I had driven. I went to pick up Jeff Leeper, the co-manager of TAP, and then I drove into New Hampshire. So I was just, beat when I got there. So I grabbed a couple of hours of sleep and then took off to Paracon. Well, it was actually Paracon before the award. And I did a couple of readings there and met some absolutely precious people. I mean, this was one professional event. But, I enjoyed every second of it. We had Jason Wetson with Ghost Adventures. Of course, Jeff Leapers with TAPS. And we had Nipia. If I start listing all the names of the groups.
Remember from Yes Man?
Elijah, I'm
right here. Yes Man? What do you remember from?
Okay. My son just came in. I'm sorry. I think he forgot the air. Oh. I'm going to kill him. But anyway, so I was with my children, and we were staying at the Black Swan Inn. And when I finally did lay down in that nice bed and stretched out, I was ready to just melt into the bed. And I'm laying there, and all of a sudden I heard the piano start playing downstairs.
Wow.
This was the after party. So in my pajamas, I jump up and fly downstairs. I was on my feet, and I grabbed, everybody that's addicted to paranormal investigating like us, we have a bag that we can grab and go. Well, I grabbed the grab-and-go bag, and down the stairs I went, And I ran into two guys in their suits in the dark, and I thought, oh, my gosh, who is that? And it was Spiritualist Frank, and it was the church. They had already heard it before me. And we started an impromptu investigation, and we investigated the whole place. Flashlight turned on in my lap, and it was a kind that you press on the back end of the flashlight. Man, it was the people that lived there, the family that owned the Black Swan Inn, were very prestigious individuals. And I worked a lot with my EVPs with Isabella in another room, and she was quite a lady. And I swear, at one point when I woke up, I thought I caught a glimpse of the dark shadowed lady in a dark dress going around the edge of the bed. And I wondered if it was her, but then I kind of woke up and I didn't see her. I don't know if it was just wishful thinking. But I went with Jason Statton from Goodyear. He was staying there, along with Jason Wetson and his wife. I mean, the place was packed. All of us were investigating at some point or another. Every one of us had a paranormal experience. And we went, but Jason and I and one of his teammates, Diane, and my children and Jeff Leach, to the local graveyard. And we found the, because this was in Tipton, New Hampshire, and we found the mausoleum for Tipton. It's a Tipton on there. And, you know, we had a wonderful EVP session there. My ambulance said, pap, pap, and we looked. And there was some flowers there, and it said, to our Pat Pat. You know, it was perfect. I mean, how else could that have been picked up? And I found Isabella's grave and her marker. Oh, God, it was gorgeous. It was so elaborate. And at the breakfast table, I turned the ovulus on while we were eating. I mean, we're even doing this while we're eating breakfast. And spiritualist Frank said he wanted a conclusive statement, you know. And we got the name Jim. And I thought, Jim, who's Jim? Who the heck is Jim? So we went to the cemetery there, and buried in the plot with Isabella was her son, James.
Wow.
That was Jim. So everybody was talking about how ovulus, you know, they have all the words programmed in. It could be something is picking up on what we're saying. We didn't know anything about a gym. We didn't say anything about gym. That was pretty conclusive right there. But, you know, flashlights turning off and on, K2 meters, you know, pianos playing. And downstairs was a doctor's office, and we had all kinds of things happen there. So it was just amazing.
That's
and
awesome.
Have you done any investigations lately?
Not this. Well, at the beginning of this month, I was at a conference, and we did like a, you know, it was a public investigation for the people at the conference. But as far as my team investigating, no, we're waiting until next month.
We had one recently. It was an emergency situation. My brother-in-law called me and said that his neighbor was complaining about the curtains opening and closing and doors to the cabinets in the kitchen closing and that kind of thing, and they were terrified. And they wanted me to come over right away. And it was a little girl, and she had been abused. And she just wanted them to know that, she, you know how children are, good attention, bad attention, it doesn't matter. You know, as long as they get attention. And the child admitted that, you know, she was doing all these things and that she had been abused. She had lived in that home. The house was built. So it was quite a beautiful it was just a beautiful moment after we finally got to the bottom of it, because it was just sort of, you know, crazy and batteries running down and all kinds of nuts, you know, whenever we first got there. But
yeah.
She was very, very excited to talk and let us know, and that she was hurt, and that's why she wanted to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she had been hurt by her mother, that her, she had been taken her from her father and moved there. So... And she wanted to stay there. Yeah, she wanted to stay there. to be honest, I think she's buried on the property. I just get that feeling, Kevin, and I don't know what to do. I guess it doesn't really matter. I don't want to disturb her grave. But she kept talking about church and grave, church and graves. I'm wondering if, you know, she's wanting us to find her and bury her properly. But, I mean, you know, what do we do?
Right. Exactly.
So, but anyway, they're it is about having her, and they leave toys out at night for her to play with now.
Mm-hmm.
So they're cohabitating quite well. I was just so glad that I took them from a state of terror to this, being able to understand each other.
Oh, sorry, I'm trying to make sure my guest called in.
I hear you. Don't worry about it. I'm a chatty Kathy. I got this.
But, you know,
you
I've
mind if I talk?
Oh, I was just going to say.
You bogged out. What?
Oh, I said, I've had experiences with the ovulist saying words that are not even in the program words.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Are we recording this? Because I really want to put this on my website. Because there's always a controversy about, you know, the ovulist. And I think that it does quite well because, you know, I've tested it and tested it and tested it. And I just believe in it.
Right.
And you know, when it starts doing wacky stuff, I just turn the thing off, you know.
Yeah, because sometimes it just spits out random crap, you know, and those are the times
yeah.
where it's just not getting anything. But there's other times where, I mean, I'm sorry, but an ovulist is not going to tell you to, you know, F you, you know, it said F you, sir, at one of my investigations. I'm sorry.
Oh,
that's
my
not
God.
In my, yeah, it's not in the ovulist.
No, that's not in the, no, you're absolutely right.
So,
you know, you and I have worked on several cases together, even though we're not so close together. So that's, I really appreciate the fact that you've got such a good value of paranormal unity. I wish more people had that ability.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's one of those things. And
if I need you, I'm like, Kevin, I need you.
Yeah.
You're very, very gifted.
Well, I just do what I can. I do what I can, and, you know, I'm usually the voice of reason when it comes to talking to clients and trying to get my message across to them, you know. And, you know, the one we're working with right now, that's what I did last night. And, you know, just reassured her and told her, you know, if you need anything, call me, and I'm here, and, you know, it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a struggle. I mean, you've been dealing with this for 6-7 years of your life. Yes, it's going to be
right.
hard. Your body is damaged. You know, you get cleared, and then you get more in you. And I said, it's a process, because the physical body is one of those things where, you know, if it's a use to attachments, or it's used to, you know, spirits being inside the body, or whatever the scenario might be, when you take those away from the body's going to react physically. And
right,
you know, it's like a sponge. It wants to soak up more. It wants to get that feeling back. And so it's one of those things where you got to retrain your whole body. You got to retrain your brain. You got to retrain your spirituality and everything that goes into your human self. You got to work on constantly to heal yourself. And, you know, that's where Lee and I are dealing with a very unique case, I would say. It's one that I have never been on as far as the situation that the client is in. And so Lee and I go through hell and back, it seems like, really
it's
working with
the truth.
Yeah, with
we have
working
really been
with
through it.
Yeah, you know, and it's one of those things that if we can eventually at some point get her healed, then if someone else like that ever comes across us again, we might know how to handle it. Because this is a little different than what we're, you know, the norm that's out in the paranormal field.
Well, I'm going about this in a Reiki perspective with energy and doing things like changing her energy field to where she isn't being able to be a sponge, but she's actually projecting out, and change her frequency so that things that once knew her won't be able to, you know, recognize her.
Yeah.
And make a big difference. And that's hard to do, but it's very possible when you know how to work with energy.
Right. So. Well, our guest, I believe, is on hold. I'm going to read about her real quick. Our guest tonight is Sarah Harmon. She's paranormal investigator, medium, into the parapsychology. Sarah is co-owner of Minds in Tandem and owner of Capturing Time Photography, all while being an active paranormal researcher. Let's see, I got to scroll down here. School, radio shows, grant research, psychic readings, and client investigations are all part of Sarah's life as well. She's currently studying forensic psychology and parapsychology studies in the master program with the goal of eventually getting a PhD. Sarah is working on grant research to further the study of parapsychology to help those with paranormal haunting and extrasensory perception. She is studying timeline therapy as well as hypnotherapy for past life regression in her practice of psychology. She has a certification in holistic energy work and hypnotherapy. Sarah has done nationwide lectures on the paranormal. Sarah was recently a featured speaker at DragonCon and taking part in a project called Black Eyes, which allows her to illuminate the field of cryptozoology and her knowledge of the unknown. She is a conspiracy theorist. Lost my spot there. She's a conspiracy theorist, naturalist, loves to hear stories of life from all walks. You can find Sarah on her website, www.paranormalsarah.web.com. So let's get our guest on tonight here. Sarah, are you there?
Yeah, hello.
Hello, who is this?
My name is Jeremiah, and I've just been listening, and I kind of figured I should call in because I agree with you about the whole unity, the whole paranormal community, and how, you know, everyone should just work together. And there's a lot of people in this field who don't really believe in that, and they should, because, you know, we're all in it for the same reason, which is to find answers behind the truth of the paranormal, but to also give people out there who call paranormal investigators, you know, a little bit of a better understanding of what's going on and what they could do to either live comfortably with the spirit or possibly what they could do to cleanse their home to get rid of the spirit.
That's right. Well, I appreciate you calling in. We're all trying to work together. The field went through a period of time where people were throwing each other under the bus, or kind of like crabs in the bucket, everybody pulling each other back because they were trying so hard for fame. And now we're starting to see more and more paranormal activity, and we're starting to bind together closer. And we're learning more.
It's just so much out there in the paranormal field, and it's like, you know, you also got so many people out there now who see all these programs on TV or the internet and go, oh, I can do it too. But a lot of those people, especially like the teenagers, don't realize some of the danger that can be involved, because what people have to realize is that when we get a call, all we really have to go on is just the claims, and those claims can turn out to be anything. I mean, they could turn out to be residual, intelligent. They could turn out to be a poltergeist, a demonic. We don't know. All we have are just claims, and we got to take those claims and use some of our scientific tools to see if there's anything that could be ruled out, and if not, then perhaps it's it's paranormal if you can't debunk it. And, I mean, I've been studying and researching the paranormal now for 8 years, and I actually have my own team. And, you know, we're just out there basically to look for answers, not necessarily to prove that it exists or that it doesn't exist, but we just want some answers behind the truth to see, you know, why. I mean, obviously we know the things are out there, but why is it out there? I mean, what's the purpose that a person's soul is left behind, especially when it comes to, like, a child? And that's if it's even a child's spirit, because from what I've realized from my 8 years of studying and researching is that sometimes when it comes to child spirits, not all child spirits, but some, especially in certain areas, you got to wonder, is it really a child or could it possibly be demonic? Because it's been proven that demonic spirits could sometimes reveal themselves as a child spirit because they know people are more vulnerable to that and they can attach onto the person.
Yeah, you can't trust what you see. You're absolutely right. You have to sit down and talk to the spirit and go by what you're feeling. If you're getting, what is your initial feeling? Because you have to trust your instinct as a spiritual being as well. People think, oh my gosh, I can't deal with ghosts. Well, they're not dealing with their own spirituality when they talk about the fear. I think they're more afraid of death than they are afraid of the spirit. You know, if they start seeing themselves as a spiritual being, they'll see that they can be stronger. So you're absolutely right. You have to use analytical problem solving as well as dealing with, wrapping your mind around the idea of the spiritual realms of things. And what do you do if you meet something that's negative or means, you know, harm to you? So I'm glad that you're educating yourself. You're such a young guy in the field. And always reach out to Kevin. You know, you see how to get in touch with him and how to call into the show. My name is Lee Brown. I'm really good friends with Kevin, and you can find me at paranormalpros.com. And you feel free to go to my website, post some of your evidence. You can become a member of my website and post your evidence, post your EVP, get your group to join, and we'll start having conversation. And if you ever need me, you can contact me through my website, and I'll be happy to mentor any way possible.
Okay.
And I have access to some very strong people. I've called John Zappas on many occasions. Okay, so don't worry about not getting answers because I have access to people.
If you guys ever want to look me up, you can just go to investigatorsoftheunknown.com. That's the name of my group. We've got a link to our Facebook and all that up on there, too. And
where are you
like
located?
I say, you know, people... I'm sorry, Fall River, Massachusetts.
Wow.
Okay.
I don't
Fantastic.
Know if you've ever
That's a
heard
wonderful
of that
area.
About.
Hey, I've got an event coming up in around that area. I'm an agent with Haunted Entertainment. So keep up with me. Add me on Facebook, and I'll announce it soon. It's not far from you. I would love to meet you at the event. It's going to be a rockin' time. And we're going to have some really neat places to investigate. I'd love to meet your entire team.
Oh, yeah, that would be good. I mean, we're a small team, you know, but just a team of basically two. You know, it's me and my wife who runs it, but she doesn't go on any of the investigations because she has back problems. So it's just me and one other investigator that goes. And we also have what we like to call two sub-investigators, but we don't normally bring them unless we need the extra help or if my main investigator can't get them, I'll call one of them in. So, I mean, you know, that's something else we also do differently than other groups is because, you know, I've taken notice that, you know, there's not very too many groups out there that have what they call sub-investigators, you know, someone that has the knowledge and experience, but someone that can also come in and fill in for somebody or give you the help that you need if you need it. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we always try to do things a little differently in this group.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm also now just starting to go into the study of demonology, too.
That's awesome. Well, please keep in touch with me on my website or on Facebook. And Kevin as well. Thank you for calling in. I really appreciate
it. Yes, thank you. It was good talking to you, and I'm going to continue listening to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Right. And I'll definitely look these up.
I hope you do. I'll be looking for you. Bless
you,
right, sweetheart.
Thank you for accepting my call.
All right. Well, thanks, man.
All right. Have a good night.
You too. Kevin, what an articulate young man. We have really got some great fans, don't we? Are you?
Yeah, I am. Oh, one show we had somebody call from England.
Really? How wonderful. I would love to. I have an actual group that I'm following and helping from Germany. I wish they could call in. Because his English is pretty good. And it would be really nice to be able to talk to him. One of the things as a Native American that I do, I don't try to take on like a negative entity, because not all negative entities are demonic. You know, I don't try to blast them out of somewhere or do something like that. I just, you know, try to find a way, like you explained earlier, to move them. You know, try to coexist with them. I realize that the good and the bad have to exist. And I just explained to them, look, where you are is not productive. You know, this is not going to work for you. Someone sent you, or, you know, this was a malfunction, a bad choice. Let me take you someplace that is better suited for you. And usually they'll just listen and move on, because a lot of spirits are afraid of judgment, or they're afraid of, you know, like it says in the Bible, you know, about being judged and that, and they will pretend to be something that they're not.
Right.
So, and as a Native American, I know that these things, you know, I believe in the yin and the yang, basically, that there is good and evil, and they have to coexist at some point, and rather than trying to have a battle that might damage the client or the situation more, it's better just to say, hey, go in as an ambassador, you know. How about let's move somewhere else? And I already have a place in mind. You know, a place, you know, that is more suited, you know, like a, you know, an empty home that, you know, nobody's ever going to, that you know is haunted, or to a place where someone that you know is studying this kind of thing. You know, you have to plan your thoughts before you go into a situation. So, do we have a guest?
I got to see who we got here. Hang on a second. I'll be right back.
Okay, while you're gone, I'm going to talk about my Dixie Ghostland Paracon. Dixie Ghostland Paracon is a paranormal conference that I'm an agent with Haunted Entertainment, and I've planned this event in Aiken in South Carolina. You can go to Eventbrite, go to Dixie Ghostland Paracon, and get your tickets. They're $45. We're investigating the Carriage House Inn. It's in Aiken, South Carolina, as well as Hotel Aiken. Hotel Aiken is where we'll be doing most of our work and most of our speaking. The Carriage House Inn was a former hospital, and it is very, very active. And it's got little kitchenettes in the rooms, so it's a great place to stay because you can, you know, do some little cooking for yourself and save money on the Hello?
I am back.
Okay. And Hotel Aiken is a very old hotel. It was built in the 1800s, and it was renovated in 2000. and we have many, many people that are going to be speaking at my event, the Dixie Goslin Paracon. We have Blaine Rohan. We have Daryl Campbell. A lot of people know him from My Ghost Story. My segment with My Ghost Story is coming this month, so I'm really looking forward to that. We have Jason Statton with Ghost Chat Radio. We have Chris Mahoney and Kim Brulette. She just came out with two books, and she'll be speaking. We have Reverend Gene Seymour, who's going to do a fantastic and fascinating speech on using dowsing rods. And it's in a method that most people don't know how to do grid lines and things like that, and to be able to pinpoint things and how to use them to shield and to find information. And also, the co-manager of TAP, his name is Jeff Leeper, and he is also a very popular entertainer and singer. Reminds me a lot of Elvis with that deep voice. And he will be coming. He will be speaking. He's a comedian, but he's also a very serious paranormal investigator. My whole team from Paranormal Pros will be there, including Terry and Mike Bauer, Eddie Rogers, who is a reenactment soldier, and he will be bringing that General Hampton reenactment soldiers who will be talking about the ghostly things that happened to them on the battleground. My mother, Judy Terry, Matt Palmatier, my son, Elijah Brown, who is a psychic child, 11 years old, Mia Brown, who is a model, and she's been on My Ghost Story with me, and she will be coming, her segment with me will be coming out this month, and we're on the cover of Paranormal Underground magazine, and then Bea Destiny and Tim Scott and Christopher Eaton. So that's the full gamut of what we're doing. Creeperson, who is a horror producer, will be bringing his group, and he'll be doing a big event where he will be presenting one of his movies. And it's the premiere of one of his movies. That'll be on the 27th. The 28th will be Andrea Perrin. And she is the author of House of Darkness, House of Light. And she basically wrote those books about the Warren Files. And the movie The Conjuring is based on a lot of her writing. So she'll be speaking about that.
Cool.
So it looks like we're going to have a wonderful time. Place is haunted like crazy. And we have a tour bus that's going to take people through Aiken. And they're going to talk about people like Minnie Pearl, who got her first hat in Aiken. Talk about the history of the Hope Diamond. And, you know, the curse of the Hope Diamond. And what it did there in Aiken. And there's just so much to talk about. I could go on about this for hours. But we're going to have a friendly little competition. I would like for people to take the challenge to investigate these places because of the Hotel Aiken owners. They're not convinced the place is haunted. So we want to prove to them that it is. So we're going to have a little contest. And anybody that turns in any pictures or EVPs or videos, it will be featured on our website and on our Facebook page.
Nice.
But you can go to Eventbrite, Dixie Ghostland Paracon, and get your tickets. They're $45, and I will be doing specials closer to time for the event. But please don't miss this opportunity. Because you'll be meeting some of the best people in the field and be able to speak with them one-on-one.
All right. Thanks, Lee.
Yeah, all like right.
Speaking of tour bus, my co-host is calling to check in. He's out of the map on the road. Jeff, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. And I'm not
I'm
in the tour bus that boats me.
Well, I stuck in there, bud. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're fine.
What is
so
this banging?
That's probably him driving.
That is. I'm driving right down Interstate 35 headed south. Just want to call and check in, let everybody know. I actually just drove about 10 minutes before I called in. I just drove through the little community of West. And I was going to stop and give me some of those kolaches, but unfortunately the place was way too crowded.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, driving around that little town, there was something that the media has not touched on, and I don't know why. That entire town is under road construction and has been for quite a while now. So for firefighters and stuff like that to get out to where they went to as quickly as they did is unbelievably impressive in what I just went through over there.
Oh, wow.
So that was cool. And I also want to encourage everybody to still, donate money to Red Cross if you're wanting to donate items or food, supplies, or whatever. Of course, the folks down here, they're still needing, I think they've estimated, $100 million worth of damage that's been done. Donate to your local Red Crosses. If you're in the South Texas or Central Texas area, HEB, which is a grocery store chain, it's working directly with the Red Cross. So, all kinds of ways that people can still help out. And I'm proud to say that the school district I worked for last week, we helped raise over $10,000 to help these folks out.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Thank goodness.
I'm super proud of it. Absolutely. It's the Central Texas community. I don't know if you guys saw the president's speech the other day. He was in Waco, and he spoke at the memorial, and he referred to how helpful these communities down here are, and he's not lying. And I know firsthand experience just how generous this area really is. It's unbelievable.
Cool.
What a tragedy.
Yeah, it is a tragedy, but, I always say in these times of tragedies where I think our greatest spirit comes out.
Yes. My husband was at Fort Rucker, Alabama, when that big tornado came through, and he was getting pulling kids out of the school. And, I saw what you mean, because that's when people really show who they are.
Absolutely. But I just wanted to call in and just mention that real quick. So I'm going to get off this phone before I have a wreck on the interstate.
Don't do that.
You guys have a pleasant evening.
All right. We also have our guest tonight, Sarah, who I read her bio earlier. So we're going to get her on the air now. Sarah, you there?
I am here.
How are you?
I'm telling you, you guys are talking about thunderstorms and all kinds of craziness. I'm getting ready to watch a big thunderstorm roll in here to Minneapolis. Just as our snow melted, we're now getting thunderstorms, which is kind of a bad thing for connection, but a good thing because it reminds me of being home in Kansas City and seeing all the tornadoes roll over the Midwest. And man, I miss those thunderstorms. So kind of good and bad.
I have a thunderstorm here as well. So this is a great topic on a dark and stormy night.
I'm telling you, I love it. It's good for riding and sitting down and just talking or doing whatever it is you need to get done on a Sunday. There's no better excuse to be a little lazy than a good thunderstorm, I think. So it's nice.
My name is Lee Brown, and I'm not normally with Kevin, but Kevin and I are very, very good friends, and I was looking forward to meeting you. So thank you for allowing me to be on the show, Kevin, and it's nice to meet you, Sarah.
Oh, well, it's nice to meet you. I'm glad that I finally got through and was connected. I was on all my social sites going, join me on the show, join me on the show. And then it took me a little bit to get connected, and I thought, man, I got to get through this opportunity. You know, just reading about Kevin and Jeff and kind of getting everyone's idea on the show, and then being able to sit and listen to you talk about the events that you're going to and the different stuff that you're working on, it's exciting. You know, I think it's always fun to meet new people, and I didn't get to hear the introduction, so I have no idea what you said. Hopefully it was good.
Well, it's nothing new because I got it off your website.
Okay, good.
And it was an answer. It wasn't the whole shebang. Of course, you couldn't put all that on there, but basically a summarization of what you did. But how did you? What got you into the paranormal? When did that first start? I know you mentioned in your bio that I didn't read that you had experiences when you were very young.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, long story short, I would have to say it started with, you know, growing up in a haunted house and then having an older sister that was always into the paranormal, and she worked with a local PRS group in Kansas City, and I kind of followed in her footsteps. But it wasn't really until my freshman year of college that it went from being a hobby, it went from, you know, investigating on the weekends and doing cases to actually going to conferences and writing papers and trying to do educational grant research and things like that within the paranormal, only because I think I got a chance to take my personal experience and meld that into forensic psychology, which is, you know, my educational path, and thinking, oh my gosh, there's, you know, people all over the world that are hearing the voice of God, or they're having these paranormal occurrences, or they're hearing or seeing things that can't be explained by science. They're causing them to do some pretty crazy stuff. And the medical model just doesn't support anything really out of the ordinary. And so you can find yourself in a pretty bad judicial medical loophole if you're not careful. And I just really empathized with people that were having those experiences. And I thought, I want to learn all I can and see if I can apply it to what I've learned in the paranormal, which was seeing so many people have hauntings and not ever really getting resolution. So for me, that was like, man, you go in there and you validate their experience or you don't. You try your best to, you know, get a repetition of stuff hearing or seeing or capturing something as evidence, and sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Even if you do, it's kind of like you just stand there and twiddle your thumbs, and you're like, well, now what? And so it was kind of fun just to apply some of the psychological theories and things that I've learned in college for psychology and say, man, is this something, is it mental illness? Is it anxiety disorders? Is it just learning how to, you know, cope in our environment? And a lot of that stuff kind of goes hand in hand. So started as a hobby and then kind of moved into something a little bit more, probably in the late 1990s.
Did you study the case of the possessed boy?
For the what?
The case of the possessed boy. The movie Exorcism of Emily Rose was actually based on his story.
Yeah, and it was said that he was out of St. Louis, Missouri, if I remember right. I didn't. I've talked with a few people who had. You know, the Booth brothers did a piece on that and found some really interesting information. And stories like that, I think, have always kind of inspired me. But that was probably what kicked my curiosity into high gear, was doing therapy for a family that was going through an exorcism. Of course, I couldn't be a part of the exorcism because I'm not a part of the church, but I went in before and I went in after, and seeing the before and after scared the pee out of me. Like, I thought growing up in a haunted house and working in a state mental hospital prepared me for that experience, but it absolutely did not. And so it was that kind of made my fandom of horror movies go to the next level of like, whoa, this stuff is for real. And so I would, you know, I'd love to hear more about what the Booth brothers learned about that case. And I do. I think it was out of St. Louis, Missouri, but I can't remember. And that's shame on me because I'm from Missouri, so shame.
Well, I actually ended up talking with Dr. Saatchi, who has the diary of the boy. Boy's diary, yeah. And he and I are doing a little bit of research together. He's doing some testing on me for some psychic ability. And he's talking a lot about the way that you are. I think the two of you should definitely introduce you to.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
There's a book that Barry Fitzgerald wrote, and it's called The Influence. And it's a lot along the lines of what we're discussing right now about how the spiritual world influences us in a way that we don't realize.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to document with some doctors in a mental hospital getting EVPs of spirits telling patients to do certain things, and then they do it. And then maybe they actually hear on a different realm than we do, and it's making them feel like they're crazy. But, you know, children, when they're born, they have the ability to see in full spectrum because their corneas aren't hardened over like ours are, which is why children are able to see spirits when they can't. So I think that's a fascinating field.
With psychology and the paranormal, you know, there's so many cases out there where it could be legitimately something that person is conjuring up, manipulating with their own mind. They have true psychological problems. And then there's these others that people diagnose that have psychological problems that might be a medium, might have some kind of sixth sense, and are picking up on spirits and letting them manipulate what they decide and what they do in their lives. So, you know, it's one of those things, you know, they go hand in hand as far as psychology and the spirit world and parapsychology. You know, there's a lot of things out there. It always makes me wonder back in the older days, like places like Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum, who had thousands of patients that supposedly had mental illness. Well, how many of those do we really know weren't psychics, weren't mediums, weren't people that were truly seeing spirits, and they were drugged up and experimented on and went through hell and back, and they didn't realize that it was a gift and they weren't mentally ill.
And I think it's kind of one of those, it's a sad repetition of kind of that human culture, whether or not we're doing it to the pagans, whether we're doing it to the Wiccans, whether we're doing it to people who are spiritual and who are exercising those six senses. I think it's something that happens all over the world, and what's sad is we're not seeing that pattern and thinking we need to treat people better and we need to kind of have that open understanding to learn more, because, man, instead of condemning, and if we could just accept and learn, I think everybody would be so much better off. I mean, when you talk about Trans-Allegheny, I mean, even now, which is, it's kind of disgusting to say that, but even now in mental health hospitals, it's happening. You know, we went away from stoning and bleeding and some of the crazy stuff we did in the early 1900s to now we just medicate. You know, it's giving somebody Haldol and Ativan just because they're hearing or seeing something that another person isn't, to me, is still just as much of a torturous thing than some of the more heinous stuff we did in the early 1900s, and it's sad. It's really sad. So I agree 100%.
Yeah.
You know, this book by Barry, I'm going to refer to it again because it's the first that I found like it. One of the things he says is that in any one given day, our brains process more than 700,000 thoughts. These thoughts lead to either what if something interferes with that process. You know, let's, for example, consider for a moment that there are things out there beyond our capabilities of unaided sight and hearing that did and continue to have influence on our thoughts. And I believe that's what you're talking about. And it's fascinating. Are you writing?
I think as technology kind of advances, people are realizing, you know, just recently I was talking at a lecture about how to talk with skeptics who maybe don't feel comfortable welcoming the idea of the paranormal, of something we can't see manipulating or influencing us. It's like, you know, we've kind of learned recently how important marketing and advertising is, and how you can use smells and you can use chemicals to signal neurotransmitters in the brain, that there are things
right.
going on with hormones and pheromones. There's so many things that we can't see in the environment with our naked eye that are influencing our thoughts and our behaviors. And I mean, I dare say 80% of who we are is influenced by our environment. And so just because we haven't pinpointed the best way to measure paranormal or spiritual energy doesn't mean that it's not there and it's not influencing us, because, you know, for those of us who have had the experience, we know it's there and we know it's influencing us. So it's kind of exciting as we're learning and technology is advancing, smaller and smaller and smaller, that maybe we can, through quantum physics or other ways in science, pinpoint the best way to do it. Because I think it is. It's a big influence on us, I would agree.
Right. Yeah.
It feels so good to talk to you. You have no idea. You are like an Alka-Seltzer. You're amazing. Oh, my gosh. Are you writing a book?
I am.
Or planning any appearances?
I am, you know, and I'll be honest, I've not done television work since I was in early college, and so that kind of hinders my ability to do lectures around. People are like, who? But I am writing. I get a lot of my published writings are with the Parapsychological Association or through my university, the University of Missouri, and just the research and grant research that I'm doing. But I am writing a book right now with a physicist called Quantum Parapsychology, and he's doing all the brain work on the quantum science, and I'm just applying it to how it could theoretically be applied to the paranormal. And we're
you
hoping to have
totally
that out this year.
Mind. Oh my God, you just totally read my mind. Kevin, thank you so much for letting me come on the show. Thank you.
Well, man, it was meant to be.
Oh my God,
meant to
I'm getting the confirmation chill. Okay,
that's
have
good,
you ever
man.
Read the book Ghosts Among Us by James Van Praagh?
Yes, I have. I have it on my bookcase as I walk
okay.
over here.
I just feel like there is a young investigator that called us a few minutes ago, Kevin. I'm just going to shout out to him. That is a book that I believe that all of the novice, new paranormal investigators should read, because it explains more about the dimension. And that is what this doctor is talking about, using a quantum physicist to describe how the different dimensions affect each other, because energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can only be changed. And what
mm-hmm.
she's doing is she's combining parapsychology and our energy as our spirit and how it relates to quantum physics. Fascinating.
Well, I'm hoping
sorry.
That I do it
sorry,
justice.
I'm just so excited.
No, I'm hoping that I do it justice. That's one of the things we talk about with the publisher is I mean, literally quantum physics changes every second. Like, they're just learning so many new things every day. And so for me, it's like, man, I could just write this forever and never get it done, but I don't want it to be something that is intimidating. Like, I don't want someone to hear the word quantum and go, well, heck with that. I hate math and science,
no,
and I don't
no.
want to deal with that. So it's
no,
been kind of a challenge.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I'm so excited. It relates to violent haunting so much.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And,
and it's... No, absolutely.
Okay,
I agree.
I'm going to try to contain myself.
No, and you know, it's funny. I've tried to tell people, because people ask me all the time, like, because I really don't enjoy math, and so they ask me how I deal with working with a physicist on trying to explain some of the dimensions and theories and stuff like that, and I kind of always tell the listeners that I'm constantly learning, but what I've always found interesting is, like, the philosophy and the theories and kind of those, I call them brain journeys, but when I became a licensed hypnotherapist, I did it because hypnosis really helped me in a therapeutic way, and it wasn't something tangible. It wasn't something that you could touch or easily explain, and trying to learn about the unconscious mind and all that fluffy, intangible stuff that makes up a person that's not always on the surface was so fascinating to me. I almost felt like the unconscious mind or our dreams or lucid dreaming or night terrors and all these things, they affect us, but we can't see them or touch them, and it's almost like another dimension. And so I kind of put my foot in the water that way, and it really helped kind of meld psychic ability, and it helped meld astral travel and out-of-body experiences and EVPs and all these different things together. And so to see it all funnel into this, well, again, it's very spiritual and fluffy to say, but that everything is really connected, you know, and that everything is absolutely connected. And if you want to scientifically, you know, because that's so important to a lot of skeptics, scientifically prove the paranormal, quantum is where you need to go. The quantum avenue is where it's going to happen. So for that reason,
well,
I'm like...
Isn't that how astral projection works through the quantum dimension?
Well, I think that they have a lot to do with each other.
Okay.
I think that whenever you leave your physical body, whatever, and of course, you know, I don't think anybody has really defined or agreed upon what the soul is, but, you know, whether or not you want to say it's our BTUs or our thermal energy or we're 14 grams or whatever it is, whatever it is that our conscious energy is, has this ability to still think and still travel to another place in time and still affect other things without mass, without gravity, without, you know, things that really affect our travel. You know, like I have to go through hot wire and pay hundreds of dollars to get to Florida to go to a convention, like all these obstacles. In astral travel, we don't have to do that, but we can still have the experience and acquire the learning lesson and come back and apply it to our life. And so things like entanglement.
See, I do astral projection. I do astral projection, and I do this for clients. And Kevin knows this because we've been working on a thing together. And, you know, I haven't been able to register on any equipment, but I have been, K2 equipment, but I can on EVPs. And I'm able to help clear houses and help people and do healing. Have you studied Reiki on this level?
My sister's a huge astral. And see, and I think that, okay, again, and this is another reason that I go back to quantum, and I'll say quantum parapsychology. I'll go ahead and coin that term as we're using it in the book. I go back to that because so much in quantum mechanics, for example, they would do these experiments and they would hypothesize, like we're supposed to do with the scientific method, and we hypothesize that something's going to happen and we experiment and it doesn't happen the way we thought it did, and then we repeat that in the same setting under these same conditions and it changed, you know, whether it's the double slit experiment with, you know, how different wave particles work under, you know, nano. And they were learning that these tiny, 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 when you get super tiny, it's almost like they changed their mind. You know, you've got the observation theory and these different concepts trying to explain how come things can just change, and that doesn't make a lot of sense. And so quantum mechanics had to actually work backwards. They're like, okay, we know that our hypothesis and our experimenting and all of this crap, we can't figure out how to do it, but this is what our result is. Our result is this. You know, how do we explain it? And they find themselves having to work backwards, which kind of breaks that scientific method down, and which is, I think, why a lot of formal scientists really are frustrated with that area of science, because you're not doing it in that formal method everyone's used to. You have to break some rules. And so I think that with stuff like astral travel and Reiki healing and energy work, we may not know the who, what, when, where, and why in specifics, but you have a client that is getting the result. So whether or not you believe it's the placebo effect, whether or not you think that it's just suggestive thought, that's all psychology. Whether or not you think that it's a hoax and, you know, it's just faith, well, we can go into religion. Whatever it is you think is going on doesn't really matter. What matters is the resolution, which is a client that feels better. And so the distance from A to B is what I think people get stuck up on, of the who, what, when, where, and why. And what's powerful is when you can just say, that'll come. What matters is that you know, like you have the wonderful woman joining us now that says, I'm not sure how I can register on certain equipment, but all I know is that I can do it, and it helps clients feel better. And so ultimately, that's really what matters most, you know. And it's exciting to know that our understanding will come in time, but that we need to focus on the fact that it is possible and mm-hmm. start changing the world from there. So
yeah,
that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I definitely agree with all of that. And I've told a lot of people that have come on the shows, you know, I'm at the point in my paranormal career, I guess you could say, that just walking around haunted locations, doing EVP sessions, that kind of thing, has gotten kind of monotonous. You know, it's just kind of the same old, and I know there's, you know, through experiences throughout helping clients, I know there's another dimension, I know there's spirit world. I'm very aware of it. So going in and collecting data as far as EVPs and whatnot, yeah, it's all great, but we've decided as a group to use all the technology that is out there right now that we have a lot of and go test lots of theories, things that people, that we catch ourselves saying all the time through either mentors that have taught us or television or whatever it might be that's stuck in our head, and we catch ourselves saying it to a client, and then we're like, you know, for instance, you know, the theory of, well, the temperature has dropped 15 degrees. That must mean that a spirit is drawing energy from the room and manifesting, and we got an EVP to show that it's happened. You know, I've said it before, but now I want to go backwards, and I want to test that. I want to know for sure that stuff that I have said in the past are valid through scientific. And I'm not talking about, you know, how people always say in the field, and they say, well, we're a scientific team. Walking around all the equipment is not scientific. You just got technology, you know, that you're using. You're not scientific until you use the scientific method that all of us learned in school. And so that's what we're doing. We're actually doing the scientific method. We did an investigation ago, we tested fire, we tested quartz, and what was the other one we tested? Oh, we did an EVP experiment where we held up flashcards with questions that, and the team that had would hold up the flashcards did not know what the question was written on the front, because I wanted to remove the human element, the human influence, because if we don't know the question, we don't know the answer. Therefore, we can't manipulate the environment, because there are skeptics out there that say, oh, the human body can influence, you know, when they talk about the ghost box, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going backwards on things and testing what God created and put on this earth, fire, water, limestone, all those theories. You know, people say, well, this house is haunted and it's made of limestone, so the limestone's holding energy. Well, I'm going to put it to the test. I want to test these theories. I want to test water, all that stuff that the Native Americans use. And we're very, very, very spiritual people. And we've kind of lost all that through the generations and today's society. And I want to go backwards. I want to use the technology we have right now and go back and test this stuff.
Well, what's exciting is I think that being able to change your methods is really important, and being open to new theories and you know, new pieces of equipment is always exciting. And what's even more exciting, like in capital letters, is that I think most teams find and most scientists find, and why even places like, you know, the Parapsychological Association really struggle, because, you know, they get the opportunity to use heavy equipment, you know, to be able to go into a local university with thousands of dollars and use CAT scans and big pieces of heavy equipment that most teams don't get access to, and they still don't find that the same conditions repeat themselves, or that the same spiritual energy does what we want it to. And what I love about that, and why I think personally it further proves that there is conscious energy of ourselves and our loved ones beyond, you know, the death, is because we have that free will to change our mind and do what we want. You know, just because someone says, Sarah, are you in here? Like, I don't have to answer. And I don't even have to be truthful when I answer. I can say my name's Helen and I'm a 2-year-old girl. I can play tricks on people and I can do whatever I want, you know.
And you know what? I'm
going
to so do that.
I'm going to so do that. But I think that, you know, for people, I think that that's proof of it's a human interaction because it's not something that's predictable. I mean, yes, humans are predictable and that our behaviors are very established on pattern, but when it comes to trying to communicate, a lot of times we have to establish trust and we have to, you know, in order to repeat conditions, there has to be that emotional intelligence, that emotional connection. And that's why I think hauntings exist, like why one person typically has the similar problems or a ghost typically attaches itself to one person that it likes to talk to, is I'm always wondering, well, what is it about that person that there is this human connection, there's this emotional response between the two people? Because then you send in a team, and, man, I know all of us who have done a paranormal investigation, we have this problem. You have a family that swears up and down something's happening, and then you go in there with a team, and it's, you know, cold turkey, and you get nothing. And you're like, well, what's going on? You know, you don't want to tell the people they're crazy and that you didn't experience anything and tell them it was the leaves blowing outside. You have to wonder, well, what's the difference? Well, the difference is the people involved, you know? Like, I don't know. I just try and think about it as if it were my dad passed away. I sure as hell know that he would not just talk to anybody, and he would absolutely be playing jokes on people. But if it were me walking into the room saying, hey, Dad, how are you doing? He'd probably be more reactive to me. And so because responses vary so much, that for me is the proof that it's a human thing, that it's not just thermal energy, that it's not just some, and I use the term dead energy, which is not real, but, you know, I don't think it's just heat or it's just a part of the electromagnetic spectrum. I don't think it's just a particle. I think it's a soul particle. I think it's a conscious energy of a person. I think that that's why things labor so much and that they're so unpredictable. I think it's that human element. So,
right.
You know, yeah. I kind of use I use that Sarah theory when I'm working with clients and say, man, I've been in here 100 times and I'm not getting anything. And that doesn't mean you're crazy, and it doesn't mean I'm crazy. It just might mean that you've got something in particular that this entity wants to connect with. And, you know, you need to treat them like a person and say, hey, leave me alone when I'm in the shower and don't tug on my shirt in the
nighttime.
That's right. And, you know, I have found that when people lay down those guidelines and rules that it typically works, you know?
Yeah.
So, I did an investigation. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Kevin, go. I'm just so excited.
Well, I was going to say that I had a client. Well, I still have a client because I still follow up with them. Client that had some, you know, some crazy claims of different things going on in the home. And one of the things that we do, not only using all the equipment, we have psychics on the team as well. And I found out that if you use both sides of the spectrum, you get better results. And in my experiences, you know, like this client, all these claims went on. We went in there, my psychic did a reading. The spirit that was there bolted. He left because I had somebody there that could sense him, could see him the whole nine yards, and he didn't want to have anything to do with him, so he left.
Absolutely,
But my psyche picked up on the residual energy that this spirit has and had left in the home, so he could read him a little bit. And so we knew there was something going on. So just for the client's sake, because they requested an investigation, because we only do it if they want us to, we did a mini investigation, got nothing, zero, nothing. Because the whole time, my psychic's saying, yep, he's staying outside. He's not going to say jack shit to us, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's one of those things, whether the spirit wants to, because they can read our energy. I mean, that's what they read us by, is our energy. And when you walk in, they'll decide right then at that moment, either A, they're going to scare the hell out of you, B, they're going to talk to you, or C, not say anything to you or leave the location completely for a while. And that's the way us as humans are, you know. We decide who we're going to talk to. You know, if we get a bad vibe from somebody, we're like, ooh, that person's weird. I ain't saying shit to them. You know, so it's the same thing in the afterlife. These are human spirits. And and like you said, you know, then you also have the evil spirits, the inhuman spirits that pretend to be human spirits, that put on this entire front so that you'll connect to them. And so there's a lot of deceiving going on also in the spirit world, you know, and that's just one of the things with doing these residentials. You never know what you're going to get into, and, you know, you can go in there and do an investigation, get nothing, go home, and all of a sudden they're calling you 10 minutes later, and cabinets are opening, and shit's flying across the room, and you're like, well, I didn't
I had
anything.
That happen.
I
got popped in the head with the book. I mean, that thing flew off the shelf, came across the room, and whacked me right in the back of the head. And it was because I was trying to help them, you know. And, yeah, it happened. It's real. People don't realize how real.
My fiance is desperately hoping to have a paranormal experience at some point, because he's just never had that opportunity to really have something happen. And
okay, I've got a location for you.
Well, it's been exciting for me, because I'm always like, you know, if I could go back to living a life the way it would have been without ever having the belief that I have, you know, because I think it's probably a lot like it is in religion. You know, you have faith, and faith is so innocent and so pure, and it's such a unique perspective. But once you have an experience, you don't have to have faith anymore. I mean, you just believe because you know.
We don't have faith-based religion. We have tangible proof.
Absolutely.
And we're on the front line.
You know, and so when I watch scary movies, there are times I'm closing my eyes, and he's like, man, what are you so – it's just a movie. And I'm like, no, man, it's written so well. Somebody somewhere had an experience. That's my co-host.
He said,
yes. But it's like, no, you know, somebody somewhere had that experience. And for me, that's scary. You know, it makes me wonder what they went through. And, you know, man, you could walk into the next room. And I feel like when you have an experience, it does change your perception. And it becomes that, I don't want to say tunnel vision like we do in the South, but you have that suggestive thought. You're on the path. You know, it's like when you break up with somebody and then all of a sudden you just see couples everywhere and people kissing on each other everywhere, and you're just like, gosh dang it, this wouldn't be happening if I didn't, you know, just break up with somebody. And it's like you find yourself surrounded by things because something in your life has changed. And,
or when you have the stomach virus and every commercial's about food.
Absolutely, yeah. And so I've always told Brandon, I'm like, wait until you have it. And I hope that I'm there. Because when it happens, it will change your perspective on things. It'll change how you see the world. And it'll change how you watch horror movies. It'll change how you, you know, talk with people and their experiences. And it's really exciting. It's kind of a pivotal
thing. I would never go back.
I would
never go back. See, I'm fourth generation paranormal investigator, so I went through a rebellious stage with my family not wanting to do this, and then I had an undeniable experience, and I would never go back. Never. Kevin and I have helped so many people, just the two of us being buddies, you know, and I've got several other people, you know, that we've helped people. They get themselves in a mess, or they get themselves in the wrong frame of mind. And empowering people spiritually is a very amazing thing. I'm proud of your work.
If you were here,
I would just hug you.
that makes me happy. That means that those nights when I'm sitting there staring at my darn computer screen trying to write and going, what in the world am I doing this for? Sometimes I have those nights where I'm like, man, I'd love to be playing with the family or doing something else, but I just feel compelled to do this work. And it makes me happy to know that
you know, I'm going to break out into the American tale. Somewhere out there, you know, that somebody would be excited about it is exciting for me.
Right. Yeah.
I think that there's just so much work to be done, you know, in this field. And I think that it's exciting because like anything else, there are different levels. You know, like you don't have to be someone who's doing research or on TV or at a conference to be making a difference in somebody's life. You know, there's probably somebody, and I think we all experience this in the paranormal, once you talk about it or you mention it to somebody, like somebody out of the woodwork comes out and goes, oh, my God, you're interested in the paranormal just one time? And, like, everybody has their own experience. Like, everybody has their story. So I think it's exciting that there are all these different parts that we play in helping people feel validated and helping people feel safe in their own home or just helping people know they're not alone. And, you know, and that's exciting for me. Like, my kind of like you said, you know, I had a very sticky time with my family, my dad's family in particular being Southern Baptist that thought me doing
Southern,
work in the paranormal.
Where are you?
And, well, I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri, and I moved to Minnesota about 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
But my dad's family, man, they didn't talk to me. Like, they shunned me for a few years, which was really, really hurtful. They were very important to me. And they did it because they truly thought, you know, in the depths of their heart, that I was meddling with the devil because I was in a paranormal field. And I will never forget it. It came down to my grandma and I were cleaning up after Thanksgiving dinner, and she had asked me what was going to be going on in my life, and I said, well, I'm getting ready to go, you know, to the Stanley Hotel and work this event, and I'm going to be doing psychic readings there. And she just looked at me like, how dare
psychic
I talk
reading.
About that? And I said, Grandma, do you know what I do in the field? Do you know what, you know, my goals are and why I'm doing this? And she didn't really say anything. And I said, you know, and I kind of had to skew it a little bit in the Christian light for her. But I said, you know, I truly feel like I'm being a disciple of Christ because people that have these experiences that are lost and don't know how to categorize it and they don't know how to live with it, they don't know how to cope with it, or some people that have lost a loved one and they've been religious their whole life and they really want that connection but they're just unsure, you know, they have doubts in their religion of, is that person okay? I said, sometimes I connect with those people and I can deliver a message and they are so overwhelmingly filled with joy that there's no way I could ever think what I'm doing is negative. There's no way I would ever think it's demonic. I feel like I bring people closer to God. And that's my gift, and that's my way of being a disciple, and I can't deny it, and that's the work I'm going to do. And she just kind of looked at me and said, huh, okay. And I think just kind of explaining it that way made her feel a lot better about it. And, of course, I don't necessarily think that, you know, I'm not a Christian, and that I wasn't baptized, and I don't go to a Christian church every Sunday. But
you are spiritual.
The
There's a difference.
Absolutely, absolutely.
There's
very
a difference
spiritual.
Between being religious and spiritual, because religion, how many wars have been fought in the name of religion?
Absolutely.
Yep.
And how much politics is involved with that, and how much is left out? How many books of the Bible that are left out? I mean, now, don't even get me started.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah. I'm with you on that one.
Spirituality. Now you've opened the whole realm, and you're more open to it. There's no fear base. That's what I embrace. That's why I like what you're doing.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's important because a lot of people, and I don't, you know, and I could get into a whole other realm here of, you know, aside from the parapsychology research that I'm doing and just my work with clients with holistic healing, is I work with a lot of conspiracy theorist clients. And it's funny because it started in my late teens when I was just a freshman in college and I really didn't know anything about what I was doing. And a friend of mine was not leaving his house and he was overwhelmingly obsessed with the New World Order. And he refused to leave his computer and he just stopped functioning. And
I visited one day, and as I was on my way out, his mom talked to me about my degree path and what she, you know, what she thought I thought she should do and if she should have him committed or what was going on. And it's kind of funny because that he really changed my client base. You know, I told her I didn't think he needed to be admitted, but he just needed someone to talk to him openly about it. But he wouldn't talk with anybody who wasn't knowledgeable about his concerns. And so, you know, I really had to learn as much as I could about some of the popular conspiracy theories just to sit down and talk with him so that he knew I wasn't just pulling his leg, but that I had done my research and we could hold a conversation and that he could possibly trust me. And I realized, wow, there's a specialty in this. There are clients out there who really need someone to talk to about this, and it requires that I learn as much as I can about this topic. And I kind of bring that back around to the whole Christianity thing, because there are people that sit down and who are very Christian, and they sit down at a conference, they're like, my girlfriend paid for a reading, so I guess I'll do it, but it's just really against everything I stand for, but, you know, whatever you get, just go for it. You know, or something around that. And I say, you know, I have studied a lot about Christianity, and, you know, my favorite book of the Bible is Thecla and Paul, and, you know, I really am fascinated by that. And they just kind of look at me, and they're like, what? It's like, well, my work in conspiracy theory has taught me a lot about politics and how we publish our history. You know, the winners typically publish that the way they want. And there have been powerful women, you know, in history that, you know, Thecla, she's one of my women icons, because apparently she was this woman who was the first woman to baptize herself. And that was just left out of, you know, the Bible throughout all of our history and editing. And I believe the stories of the Bible happened, you know.
And the fact that a woman found him, a woman found that he had risen. Okay, which meant that the women were supposed to be leaders in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing about reincarnation was actually taught by the Catholic Church until one of the cardinals got mad at the Pope and said when he died, he was going to come back and kill him. And then all of a sudden, that was taken out of the doctrine.
Well, yeah.
So
it's
all about the politics of it. You have to cut the crap to get to where you need to be. And it requires an open mind and a commitment to study.
Yep. And I think that, and I think what's really sad, I have to admit this, I think that it's sad that there isn't it doesn't seem to be, at least in my world, a profitable, beneficial avenue for people who are excited about learning more about that, who are learning more about the politics of things. And you know, a lot of times I do a radio show.
You got Kevin too. I promise you that.
Well, and I find myself, I do a radio show on Monday nights, and I always have to remind my listeners, like, I'm kind of sewing almost, like this philosophical sewing of how conspiracy theories relate to the paranormal, because I'll be like, well, you know, imagine for a moment that technology did prove the paranormal and that things are happening after death. Suppose we could talk to our loved ones and get all the information stored in all of the universe. Well, that would be kind of detrimental to some big churches, and that would be pretty detrimental to a large voting population. And who's to say that would ever even get published? Because, well, that wouldn't be really beneficial to those publishing things. You know, and just media, and like, we would never hear about that. We would be more inclined to hear about the Kardashians than we would that, you know, the Catholic Church just accepted alien life forms. You just don't hear about these changes. And so people are like, oh, okay, I guess I can see how that kind of relates. And it's like, yes, it relates to your daily life, like paranormal investigating and conspiracy theories and naturalist living, you know, whether or not we're talking about Monsanto and keeping your body healthy, or people asking me how to better your psychic ability, and I say, well, what do you eat? You know, how do you live? What do you do on a day-to-day basis? And why, your intentions, like all of this stuff, again, that kind of fluffiness of that, it's all really connected. And I find myself kind of saying that a lot to my listeners and trying to drill it in, because that was such an epiphany for me. It's like, you're telling me that what I eat for dinner has something to do with my psychic ability, and that that in turn has something to do with the Bilderberg group? Like, how does that all connect it?
Well, six degrees of fluorine messes with our pineal gland.
But it's like that 6 degrees of separation is a lot smaller than 6 degrees, and that's really powerful once you learn that. You know, it's like, holy cow, I know Kevin Costner, you know, or holy cow, you know, I can change my future. Like, it seems really hokey and fluffy and weird and strange to some people, and it did to me for a really long time.
Well, if I sit down, though, and listen to the actual analysis of it, it's sound.
Well, I mean, and the breakdown, it's just fun. It's fun for me to, you know, to have a client say, you know, I want to learn to be more psychic. I want to learn to love myself more. Or even in, you know, psychotherapy, sitting down with someone with the psychology part of it. You know, my professors, some of them have really looked at me strangely. When I say, well, let's talk about some holistic healing, because that's where I want to start. And the reason I want to start there is, you know, is because why do we need to add symptoms? Let's see what we can do here. And you know, people that want to be psychic, and it's like, man, it's hard to be connected to anything when you aren't connected to yourself. You know, it's hard to be a healthy paranormal investigator if you're stressed and sweating and, you know, you're full of steroids and hormones and you can't think straight. And going back to the very beginning thing that we were talking about.
It completely blocks all of your energy ability.
Absolutely.
And those
things we can't see that are affecting us, maybe the spirit is affecting us. Well, the stuff in the air is affecting us, and the stuff we eat affects us, and the stuff that we breathe and touch and our deodorant, it all affects us. And so
deodorant,
because it affects us,
toothpaste,
it affects all of us.
People don't realize.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing a small investigation in a little cave near my home, and I live in a little Revolutionary War history, you know, type town. And I met a little spiritual couple, and they didn't want to talk to me at first because I look very Native American, of which I am. And I picked up the EVP engine. They thought I was there to hurt them, you know. And they said they never wanted to cross over or go to any other dimension because they didn't want to lose each other. They were afraid they would lose each other. So they were there together, and they didn't realize the time, you know, and they didn't realize how long they'd been together. And I told them there's no reason to hide. They were terrified of cars, terrified. Hmm. And I explained to them about cars and got them up to date a little bit, told them how they could move about and the best time to do it and how they didn't have to hide. And it really improved their quality of their existence. But the whole point of bringing this up was, I said, can you see me? And the female, the one that was speaking to me the most, she was telling me how friendly I was and trying to convince her husband. I've got all this on video. It's on my website. You're welcome to see it. And her name was Betsy. And she said, yes. And she let me know she saw me very clearly. And she let me know, I said, show me with my K2 meter where you see me. And it was right down the line of my chakras. She could see me. But she couldn't see some of the other investigators as clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that meant a lot to me because that tells me that, just like what you were just saying, you know, how can you be a good paranormal investigator if you're not taking care of yourself, you're not keeping your energy clear, you're not doing your energy work, meditation and preparation. You know, if you're going about things in a negative manner and going in and insulting spirits or trying to just get the evidence, you know, provoking in that, you're not doing anything. You know, you may as well be fishing because you're not an investigator and you're not a researcher.
Well, and I think it goes back to even some of the things that we were talking about at the very beginning of the show, where he had mentioned that, you know, talking about how intellectually advanced earlier cultures like the Native Americans and the Egyptians and all of these very spiritualist cultures and civilizations were. And what I find extremely fascinating is that those people who were the shamans and the medicine men and the priests, they were celibate, and they fasted, and they meditated, and they
cleansed, and they made sure before they were doing any type of ceremony or communing with the dead that they were pure. And I think that that's fascinating because considering, you know, how much we've learned that they really knew about the world, it says something about, you know, when people say, well, you need to meditate and clean your energy and use your chakras, and it's, again, the skeptics that are like, man, that's just fluffy, you know, that's just stupid. It's like, well, stupid or not, and whether or not we can prove it or measure it or all that jazz, I mean, you have to give some credit to earlier civilizations that were obviously well advanced and knew quite a bit. Even they found that to be important, that you were only eating certain foods or fasting, not eating at all, that you cleansed yourself, you took a, you know, your bath and, you know, had certain oils and certain scents and certain makeup and certain rituals and even music, you know, whether or not we're talking about binaural beats and rhythmic tones and things and mantras. It's like all of these civilizations and cultures all across the planet, you know, in different times and ages, and they all have these kind of similar things going on, if you notice, in their spirituality. And so for me, right there, it's like, man, it's kind of like, you know, how can a billion Chinese people be wrong about sushi? It's like, how, you know, how, just statistics. You know, I hate statistics, but I understand it a little bit enough to know that, you know, you have all these different cultures through all of these different times having similar things going on with their success. And that makes sense to me of like, well, I should give it a shot. And, you know, I don't know, just kind of learning from our elders. And I think that you are an intelligent person if you can learn trial and error through other people's experiences. you know, it's good to have your own, but to learn from others as well. And so for that reason alone, that got me right there. You know, for a long time, I couldn't really get on board with the chakras or the mantras or anything like that. But then
it's just the energy level that it's on, you know,
yeah.
Just the energy.
It really does.
Different dimensions, yeah.
And it really does affect things, I'm telling you. It just...
Well, being Native American and a Reiki master, I'm on the other side of the plane from you. So if there's ever anything I can do for you, please let me know.
Absolutely.
I studied Qigong. Yeah, I studied Qigong and Reiki, Reiki master. Both of my children are as well, and my husband. And we use Reiki for our investigation. And then... also being Native American and knowing their ceremony and why things are the way they are. And I also play Native American flute and understand a lot of the ceremonial music and the tones.
So you'll have to email me because there's just a lot. Like you said, you know, you try and research and understand as much as you can, but there comes a point when you realize that knowledge is also networking and that I can say, I don't know much about that, but I know someone who does. And
mm-hmm.
Let me reach out to that
person.
We'll
break it down together. I'm an analytical problem-solving trainer, so we'll break this thing down. I'm a creative analytical mind. I'm an odd beast. Kevin can tell you.
I need that in my black book.
Kevin puts that with me. God bless him. I just love you, Kevin.
Yeah, and, you know, I totally agree with, you know, if you really want to get specific on things that affect us as paranormal investigators, if all the people that were in the field would band together and try to just don't worry about what another team's doing, don't worry about what an individual's doing, what they're doing with their career, if they're trying to get on TV or this, that, and other, just let's concentrate on learning more about the paranormal, and when they get that client call, to have enough knowledge to go help that person. That's what it all boils down to.
Absolutely.
You know, and you got all this drama and crap that go on, especially through the net, you know, the social networks. They don't realize they're affecting everybody that they're messing with, because then that creates stress, that creates depression, anger, the whole nine yards, and then that person has to turn around when they get a phone call and go help somebody in that state of mind.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's kind of funny. I've gotten to the point where,
I totally agree.
You know, a lot, well, and so many people, they get really negative. especially some younger, there have been some younger people that have come to different conferences and lectures, and they go, man, I love the paranormal, and I see it on TV, and I'm really excited about it, and it's what I love to do, but it just seems like there's lots of drama. And I have to remind them that that is a human trait. Like, if you go to a salon, you're going to find that with the beauticians there. My dad
works at go to church.
You know, yeah, exactly. It's a human thing. You have it in high school. You're going to have it in college. You have it on the Housewives of Atlanta. Like, every click of human person is going to have drama because, you know, people just can't mind their business. And what, you know, I have to, it's funny, I just watched the darn Jim Carrey Yes Man show today and was laughing because I saw it for the first time and I thought, you know, and neuro-linguistic programming is something that that I do a lot of in my holistic therapy with talk therapy and gestalt therapy and just working with people on the language that they use and how important their language is. And I thought it was fantastic relating that to drama. I have to take the mental effort. It's like, you know, when people say, what are affirmations or affirmations and how do they work? It's like you have to have that mental effort to change a habit, to look at drama and say, you know, in the South we would say bless their heart. Bless their heart. They have so much time on their hands that they can do this. And it's a blessing, you know, because other people out there are struggling through stroke and heartache and loss and death and starvation and financial problems, and these people are on Facebook doing drama, you know, bless their heart. And I have to do that, you know, and it's also kind of funny in that my conscience, the voice of reason in my head is my dad and George Carlin. And those are the two voices that lead me on my daily today thinking. And my dad used to tell me growing up, he said, you know, if they gossip with you, they'll gossip about you. And mm-hmm. so every time I catch myself caught up in something where people are like, oh, my God, can you believe that? It's like, you know, my kid's crying in the next room. I have got to go. Like, and that's been my excuse since having him. It's like, oh, shoot, you know, I hear Stellan in the next room. I got to go. Because I just don't want to be associated with it. And I have to just be thankful that people have that much time on their hands and that nothing worse is going
well,
on
in
their life.
Be ye different. You know, it says in the Bible, be ye different, and that, you know, we walk the walk that we do, and if we participate in negativity, it does take away. It takes away from our strength. And a lot of people can't walk on the same realm that we do.
Well,
not saying that we're
effort.
All that great, I'm just saying we are a different type of people.
Absolutely, and it takes effort. It really does. Because I'll be the first one to tell you, you know, when I was a young teenager, I was hateful, and I was dramatic, and I threw fits, and I hated my parents, and I, you know, I could throw it with the best of them, and I gossiped quite a bit, I'm sure, and it's one of those things where, you know, I don't know if it was just because of puberty or if it's that time in your life that everyone does that, but it's like I could easily still be a part of that if I wanted. It's everywhere, but you have to make that conscious effort of like, man, I just don't want to give any energy to that, you know, I'd much rather play Angry Birds or, you know, whatever else that you want to do with your spare time. Because, I mean, really, if you got time to deal with that junk, you've got time, really. you know? Like, and I have to spin it positively and just be like, well, thank goodness they've got that kind of time. No, I don't. And just try and be positive with it and encourage people to don't stray away from the paranormal community because you feel like there's drama, because that'll find you wherever you go. Instead, you know, realize how exciting it is. You know, I think the paranormal realm is one of the communities that you'll find a very eclectic group of people through every demographic. And you will find people, you know, even if you look at the small demographic of television shows, the different people that are on those shows, whether it be plumbers or geologists or archaeologists or camera people or stuntmen or FBI agents or whatever it is, you know, you just have a good group of people that bring all sorts of different, you know, pieces of experience, and some are spiritual, some are religious, and some are skeptical, and some are scientific, and it's just exciting. It's, you meet a lot of really fun people, and you get to travel. You know, I have really enjoyed working in the paranormal community because I've gotten to travel all over the world and investigate some really amazing places. And when I'm there, I eat the food and I talk with people, and you get really close to people, you know.
What's your favorite equipment?
You know, that's my favorite trick question, and I always tell people it's the human body. I always tell people the human body. But really, I would have to say my favorite piece of equipment lately outside of the human body has probably been the obelisk, because I'm doing some research with that on suggestive thought and statistical responses of suggestive thought. And so for that reason, it's been kind of fun to see the responses. But it changes. You know,
I've
like
got some videos
tools.
If you want to see it. I've got some really cool videos with obelisk if you want to see it.
I do. Send me your stuff for sure.
We're going to have to hook up on Facebook. Kevin, I love you. I love you. I love you. This has been so much fun.
I know. And I was just going to say, I know that we're getting close to wrapping up here. And I hope that, you know, that everybody listening can, you know, check me out. I've got a website and I'm on all the social stalking sites. But I, you know, really hope to keep in contact with people, and that people send me their questions and send me their feedback, because, you know, I work through referrals and I learn through constructive criticism, and neither two of those things can happen if people don't reach out. So I just encourage you to send me something, anything, and let me know what you think. That means a lot to me. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any websites or anything you want to shout out before you...
I do.
Before we close?
You know, Paranormal Sarah, and
sorry,
I
Kevin,
Sarah,
that's your job.
No, Sarah like the Bible, so it does have an H, but ParanormalSarah.com is where you'll find me, and the research I'm doing and the services I provide, and, you know, I do Skype therapy with people all over the world, so wherever you're at, whether you're talking about your conspiracy theories or working through emotional stuff or just want to learn how to work on your psychic ability or even learn how to cook. I have clients that I work with on that. But Paranormal Sarah, you can find me, Twitter, Paranormal Sarah. Facebook is the Paranormal Sarah, because someone, my personal one is Paranormal Sarah. But, I mean, you can Google it or you can just, you know, check out the links here on the show. I've posted some stuff in the chat room and on Facebook as well. But I'm writing some books. I've got some books coming out. And I do a lot of publications and grant research that I'm not a lot of people care a whole lot about, but it's fun. And I'm actually
nobody
working on
I
a...
do.
Thank you. I'm working on a computer program.
I'm on your team.
Yeah, I'm on that. My Batman utility belt has one more tool on there. But I'm working on a computer program that I hope will be helpful to paranormal investigators. It's a way of organizing information and statistically measuring patterns of things, and
good.
Just a lot of tools and fun stuff that I'm working with. And I have a radio
weather
show.
And things
yes,
like that.
It does.
And making them
it does.
Okay.
It even includes menstrual cycles of the investigators, if you must know. It gets pretty detailed. It's exciting.
Makes a difference in energy. It does.
You never, I mean, it's one of those things that, I mean, everything from ley lines to menstrual cycles to lunar cycles to barometric pressure, you name it, it's on there. And it explains...
Well, when we have a chance, I want to talk about dowsing rods with you and what
okay.
I've learned recently. That's another
that.
Day.
Well,
okay.
And I was going to say, you know, Kevin, be sure and anytime you need somebody, you just let me know. And, you know, I work from home and I go to school from home, so it's just me and the little guy most of the time. So feel free to call me anytime and, you know, you can email me directly. For those listening, if you want to email me, it's theparanormalsarah@gmail.com. You can find me there. And, I hope to hear from people. So.
Now, you also mentioned earlier you have a radio show on Mondays. Where's that located?
I do.
For people can go to?
It's at Paramania Radio. So it's one big long word, Paramania Radio. It's Monday nights at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we talk about everything from conspiracy theories to palm reading to...
I do that.
You know, yeah. See, there you go.
I do that.
I mean,
I'm very good at that, actually. And I've got
videos of that.
Well, I mean, we've on the Darn Radio Show, it's called The Skeleton Key, and you can download it on demand or get it on your mobile phone. But we talk about just about everything and try and loop it around to the paranormal. And I love people to join me there because then we can chat, and people request topics all the time, and I include it. And tomorrow night I'm going to have a good friend of mine, Mr. Brian Kalick, who's kind of in the limelight right now, and he's going to be talking about some really cool equipment that he's working on, and music and tone and EVP and dimensions and quantum mechanics. So if that interested you tonight and your ear was perked, then be sure and join me tomorrow on the Skeleton Key and reach out and contact me.
Yay.
All right, well, guys, thank you so much for having me. I'm going to hop off here and go change a diaper and get back to the real world.
thank you.
And anytime, guys, it was an honor.
Thank you, Sarah, so much for coming on.
Thank you, guys. Good night.
Night. All right.
What a darling. She is a darling. Oh, my gosh, and so intelligent.
Yeah.
Going about it the right way, documentation, comparing analytical, spiritual. I mean, what a great guest you had. And thank you for letting me be part of it.
Definitely, definitely. See, there was a reason you came on tonight.
Well, I had a great time. It was party time for me.
Exactly.
I'm on the other side of the spectrum. I hope that she'll call me and that we can, you know, maybe do some more stuff. Talk about some stuff or do some experiments. My mentor, a psychic mentor, he passed away this year, and I'm used to doing experiments. He tested me from the time I was about 7 until I was 14, 15 years old. And so, yeah, I'm used to that, and I miss that. And I grieve deeply for the loss of him. And so it all started by being part of a gifted program in public school system. He was getting he was doing his dissertation for his doctorate. And out of the 356 kids that were part of the program, 7 of us showed psychic ability, and it got down to 2 of us and finally me. And, you know, as age went along, you know. And I would love to see some of his writing. I never got to see any of his publications, but, you know, it would just be great to be able to do that again and to fulfill what I started with as a child, you know. That'd be awesome. But we'll see. Whatever God wants, it tickles me to death. If God doesn't want me to do it, I'm fine too.
Definitely. Yeah, it's
you always
you
have
know,
so much fun on your show.
I know. I don't know what it is. I have a knack for asking the right people to come on the show. And I don't know. I guess that's one of my talents. I've never had a guest that I regretted having on the show. Everybody just enlightens me so much, and that's why I love radio. It's a way for me to talk to new people in the field, make new friends, and learn stuff. Because man, there's so much knowledge that deal with the field that we're in, and we're constantly learning new things and seeing new things. I mean, just like you and I talked about at the beginning of the show, the client that we're working on right now, it's something I've learning for the first time, you know, on some of the things that have been going on with her. So for me, it's been an educational journey as well. So,
well, we're in together, bro.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, I'm still working on that hospital, and I just hope that God has it in the plans for me to get a hold of that building so that, you know, if I own a building and I go in there, not to brag or anything, but for some reason my personality, the spirits love talking to me. They always have. They know that I'm generally kind and not going to disrespect them in any way. So I'm hoping
you've got a special kindness about you. You really do. You're a special person. I mean, everybody can see that.
Yeah, and so I'm hoping by getting that hospital and you know, making friends with the spirits that are there, that when I do some experiments, you know, I might get some better results if I'm doing it there and you know, in the same setting, the same environment, constantly over and over again. Because, you know, it is hard, like Seth said, it is hard to do experiments when you're dealing with human spirits. Because even in our world, we're so, we're not generally just doing the same thing all the time. There's always something different that happens in our lives. And,
we're also not very forthcoming, you know.
Well, you know, and the way I look at it, in the spirit world, dealing with human spirits, they can have moments where they're pissed. They can have moments when they're nice. They go through mood swings as well.
Yeah, they don't want to be messed with sometimes, and they also have their preconceived. We should have experienced in the past, and then it's confusing and frightening.
Yeah, yeah, and so you know that's it's hard, but at the same time, I know that that's what I want to do with what I'm doing, and. I keep my fingers crossed that if I can get this hospital being 30 minutes from my house and not married or have any kids or any of that in my personal life. So if I just want to go to the hospital and do some investigating, do some experiments, I can do it at any given moment, you know, and that would be so cool to have that kind of access. So I'm going to keep my fingers crossed.
I'm crossing my fingers, toes and eyes and everything for you. Because that would just be such a breakthrough. It really would.
Oh, yeah, so definitely.
That would be amazing.
You host a show. In fact, you had to do double duties tonight. You did a show prior to my show, and then you came on and helped me out.
I did double duties. I've had a wonderful night. It's been so much fun. This is just what I do, man. This is just what I do. It doesn't get any better than this.
Who do you got coming on your show, and where is your show located so that people can, you get to get some, throw some props out there now?
Oh, thank you. My show is called Family Spirit. It's coming on with Scythia Radio. And I have John Brightman and John Zappas. Brian Cano, Brian Hanoi, Barry Fitzgerald, Dr. Lloyd Arabeck, Andrea Perrin, let's see, Jeff Leeper. Got a lot of people lined up. It looks like things are going to go really well. I haven't started the program yet, but I have been releasing videos from some of my investigations on YouTube and on World TV, and they've been getting a lot of hits. And I'm on Blog Talk Radio, and it's Haunted Life is the name of the show, and it's Haunted Entertainment show, and I'm co-host with my CEO, Dan Guthrie, and we're on Sunday nights just before yours. I got off of that one and jumped right over here and did this one with your show. So it was a lot of fun.
Well, thank you so much. You saved the day. And so
I talked so much. I know it's your show.
You're good.
I got excited. I couldn't help it.
No, you're fine, because a lot of times I have two other co-hosts, and a lot of times I seem like I'm the one taking over and talking all the time. So I got a little break. Remember to tune in tomorrow, Into the Darkness Radio, right here on the Unknown Radio Network with Matt Masaryk and Brittany Johnson. And then Tuesday, I'll be back on Terrify Radio with Miss Jody Parks, and we will have Brandon Garrett, who is a friend of mine who is a Bigfoot hunter down here in Texas, and he will actually be on location out in the field hunting Bigfoots as he interviews with us. So maybe we might get something live on here.
That would be fantastic. I'm going to tune in for that for sure. Wow. How exciting.
And next week on the show here on Unknown Paranormal Radio, we will have, and I'm going to be kicking Martin in the butt if you don't get on this show, because Martin's so into tech. And we're going to have Miss Natalie Poole, who was on Ghost Hunters Academy, and her teammates are building equipment, state-of-the-art equipment, to hopefully revolutionize the paranormal field. And I'm telling you, this girl is, she'll blow your mind of how smart she is. And it's not every day that you hear of a woman making paranormal equipment. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
So we're going to have her on the show next Sunday. So that's our lineup. Like I said, there's a show on every night this week here on Unknown Radio Network, except for Saturday. So tune in every night if you like, and check us out. And we're going to leave tonight and bid everybody a good night.
Folks, find me on Facebook, Lee Treanna Brown, LeiTreanna. Send me a message, and I look forward to hearing from you. And, Kevin, thanks for having me.
All right. Good night.
Good night, everyone.